Hello, everybody.
Hello, welcome to our third MBSE podcast. I'm Tim, and I'm one of your hosts. Today, we do an unboxing episode. It will not be the new iPhone, but much better, the brand new SysML version 2. And, well, this time we do an English episode. So let's ask my co-host, Christian. Why two German guys do an English or Germanish podcast?
Yeah, you know, up to now, there are only a few, it's only a few information on SysML on the internet. And besides on some presentations of Ed Seidewitz and Sandy Friedenthal, we thought that there might be a worldwide interest in SysML V2, and we decided to hold this session in English.
Okay, so we also have some pure MBSE podcast listeners who do not see what we do. So it should also be understandable without the video. So do not switch off if you are only listening to us. However, it will be easier to follow us with the video. Yeah, Christian, can you briefly explain what we want to talk about today?
Sure. So first of all, I think we need to clarify that all what we are doing today is having a look under the hood. And within these 30, 40 minutes, which we have, we can't go too much into detail, but we will show you what's there, what's existing, and you will see much textual language. And it might seem to some people that SysML2 is getting a programming language with a textual notation, but the contrary is the truth. So, of course, there will be a graphical notation in near future, but textual notation will be added as a second view or another view on the model, which is very precise. And if you know Modelica, there you can switch between graphical and textual notation, and it's very clear to the user what the system is doing with your graphical notation that you have modeled. Yeah, so moreover, with a textual notation, we might have the chance to have something like a, let's call it, stateless exchange format. Of course, in such a notation, there are no UUIDs, and that means a SysML modeler can't really decide, is this a new modeling element or was it there before you pasted something in an existing model, but it's better, or it should work much better than the existing XMI schema. So Tim, what is in this box?
Yeah, so since the latest release, that's 2020.10, the release is available on GitHub. Well, the previous releases were available on Google Drive, so we published a link to a Google Drive where you found a zip file, and now everything is on GitHub. So let's open the GitHub page. There's a team for the SST who develops the SysML V2. So I share my screen, and you will shortly see the GitHub. Let's see. Well covered here. Ah, here it is. Here we have the GitHub. So.
So SysML is so big, Tim has to look around.
Yes. Yeah, so now you should see the GitHub team page of the SysML submission team. The URL is github.com/systems-modeling. We will also put this URL in our show notes after this episode. And there are 5 public and 1 private repositories here to see. So I can see the private repository because I have access rights to it because I work on that. That's the SysML V1 to V2 transformation. And we make it public as soon as it is more mature. Currently, it's very draft. So we see different repositories here, and today we would like to unbox the release, and we find the release, of course, here in the release repository. So let's go into this one. So you can clone this repository, or you can download still the zip file that contains everything you need. And the zip file is here. If you scroll down, you find the README of this one. And there somewhere is the link to the releases. And if you click on the link, you come to another page where you find the zip file of the latest release. Actually, there are two zip files. One is the pilot implementation, and the other one is API and services. And today we look on the pilot implementation. So Christian, unzip the zip. What's in it?
Yeah, let's have a look. So let me share my screen. Yes, I want to override Tim.
Oh.
So well prepared. When we unzip this this zip file, we find several folders and files, and all in all, it has around 175 megabytes, so a lot of stuff in it, but let's have a look. So first of all, we have a README file, a README markdown file, so there are all the instructions, how to install and what it is. Of course, there's some licensing stuff. So currently nearly everything is licensed under the SST member organizations listed in the documents. And the pilot implementation is especially licensed by Model Driven Solutions. So Ed took a lot of work in it. He's working for Model Driven. And yeah, but it is licensed under Creative Commons, I think.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you can use it, you can modify it, I think, but you can sell it or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, so actually the PDF is Creative Commons license. The other one is the GNU license.
Oh, thank you, Tim. So.
Yeah, the legal stuff is sophisticated.
Yeah. Yeah, so what do we have? We have a documentations folder where you find some documents we will show you in the next minutes. We take a closer look to them. But as you can see, over a megabyte of text, it's a lot of stuff. We have all the install files for Eclipse and Jupyter. Both parts are pilot implementations in which we will have a look in the next minutes. Then we have some metamodel stuff here in kernel as well as in SysML. So all the sources to the language and inside the language and the source folder, you also find many examples. So there are several examples, of the vehicle example, which might have got some fame because it's the example from Ed's and Sandy's presentations so far. But as you can see, there are several more examples. The camera example, which contains some stuff, especially for behavioral modeling, which is coming from Conrad Bock, I think, and many more. So the last folder we did not look in is the SysML library. And this is not filled up very much up to now. But as you can see, there is a folder in it called geometry. And it contains some basic some basic stuff of geometry means how to cover some domain knowledge regarding CAD and how to connect that. So did I miss something, Tim?
No, I think that's it. And we will revisit some of these elements when we look at the implementation.
Sure. So then, Tim, tell us what's in part one of these documents.
Yeah, so there are three documents for the SysML v2 specification. And let's have a look at part one. I try to share my screen so you can see it, at least the people who have video. I must look around my box. Part one is the specification of kernel. And kernel is, so to say, the beta model elect for SysML v2. SysML v1 is based on UML, and SysML v2 gets a new, complete new, brand new beta model. So here you see the cover page of this document. It's already more than 200 pages long, and I assume it will be much longer when it's finalized. And yeah, we can jump to the scope chapter. If you open an OMG specification document, the scope chapter at the beginning, it's chapter one, is interesting because there you can read what is the scope of this one. And it says the kernel provides an application independent syntax and semantics for creating more specific modeling language. Well, so that's the beta model, the basis for the SysML v2. And yeah, we can have a look into the beta model. Beta models are sophisticated stuff. So let's look, for example, here into section 7.3. That's about types. Types is a common concept in the modeling languages. And currently we look on the beta model diagram for those who cannot see it. And we see the type, for example, and on the right side, the feature. So simply set the block and a property, for example. Huh? These are special types or features. And we can also see a special thing here that the feature is a special type. That's new in SysML v2. We have in SysML v1, we have types and we have the features. And in SysML v2, a feature can also be a type itself. That's a little bit weird. And I think it's worth another episode of this podcast to discuss that one. And maybe one more, you also see here an element called feature membership. That's the relationship that a feature is owned by a type. And we will see these elements later again when we look into the pilot implementation. I think that's it so far for part one. Of course, there's lots and lots of more stuff, but that's out of scope for this unboxing. So Christian, what is this in part two and three?
Yeah, let's have a look on my screen again. And I also prepared some...
Well done.
Yeah, some PDFs here. And part two is about the language. So it's the OMG systems modeling language version 2.0 specification, which is submitted in response to the RFP from 2017. And so let's have a look into a similar section like Tim has shown that. So you see this is also nearly 400 pages long, and there you can imagine how much work is in this language and in this specification. And so what I wanted to do is switching with you to section 7.7. And maybe I will find it in a minute. So, because 7.7 is regarding parts, and parts is, the concept of parts was there also in SysML v1, but we have some change. We don't have a block anymore. So the block is called part definition now in SysML v2, which brings us the concept of definition and usage all across the language. You find it also in terms of attributes, in terms of some behavior stuff. And it's very similar for all the concepts. And you can see the abstract syntax now here in this diagram, which gives you the context between definition and usage, as well how item definition and part definition is connected to definition, and how item usage and part usage is connected to usage, and how those two sides are acting together. It doesn't look very familiar, and it's fancy stuff behind it, but trust me, there were people thinking a lot, and there were brilliant minds on at work who decided to get rid of of the UML meta model, just because of those things would not be possible. But they are the foundation for a much clearer and more specific and precise language like SysML v2 will be. So we could scroll through the other 384 pages, but then we will have a 24-hour podcast session, so we don't want to bother you with this. So that's why we are switching to the third document in this release. And the third document is about the API. And as you can see again, the front page of the API, which is in response to another RFP, like we mentioned it in the last episode of our podcast, which came some months later than the language, but the API is developed together with the language, and the benefits of it we will see in some minutes. So let's switch back to the chapter 752 of this specification. It is a little bit shorter, much shorter than the language specification. And chapter 7.5 is about element versioning. The API offers some services, and one of the services is element versioning. And what I wanted to show you now is the abstract syntax here in chapter 7.5.2, which shows a diagram connecting the project itself. So that means the model, the head or the root of a model is called project now. And a project contains several element identities, and an identity can have multiple versions. As well, element version, as also element identity, is called a record. And the last element on this diagram is commit, which is very, let's say Git-like, that a commit has a change set, and a change set contains several element versions. We will show you a pilot implementation we have shown on the TDSE, on the German National Symposium, Incosi National Symposium last week, where we did a proof of concept, how well and how easy that is working. So we are through with all the documents. So I would say, let's open the install folder.
Yeah, now the real stuff. So I take the screen and it's here. So if you have unzipped the release, you find the install folder, and inside the install folder are two subfolders. One is for the Eclipse pilot implementation, and the other one is for Jupyter. And I open the Eclipse one, and inside the Eclipse folder, you find a README file. And the README file explains very well how to install the SysmaV2 pilot. And I tried it a few days ago, and it works very well, exactly like it is described in the PDF. Before you can start this installation, you need Eclipse. It's not described how to install Eclipse, but that is quite easy. You can download Eclipse from the eclipse.org website. Actually, you download an installer, then you start the installer. And maybe then it's a tricky part. The installer asks you which edition you would like to install. I always install the so-called Eclipse modeling tools because we would like to do modeling. But it should also work with one of the other ones. At least it must include the Java development kit. So, and once you have installed Eclipse, you start with the guideline in the README. So I already did that because that costs a lot of time, downloading, installing, et cetera, et cetera. So it's already prepared. And I change to my Eclipse. So let's do a new share. To the Eclipse folder. Should be somewhere on my PC. Here it is. And now you see the Eclipse IDE. By the way, if you're not familiar with Eclipse, you may be desperate to find the preference menu item that is mentioned in the README. It's located in the window menu. So maybe you would not expect a preference menu item in below the windows. So there you find that one. So here you find, when you installed it, you find three folders, kernel, SysML, and the SysML library. And as Christian already showed you, below the SysML package, you find the examples and training stuff, which is also a huge list of examples. And you can create your own modeling projects. That is also described in the PDF, how to do that, how to create a new project, and then you must convert it to Xtext and things like that. That everything is described very well in the PDF. And in the end, you have an empty project, and I already created one called Simple System. And inside the project, you can create a new file with the end.sysml. And inside the file, you can start, should I say programming SysML?
Better not.
So there you find the SysML code, maybe it's code. And how to do the textual SysmLv2 syntax is described in one of the PDF we mentioned before. The SysmLv2 introduction PDF in the doc folder contains actually a description of the textual SysmLv2 syntax. So I created here a very simple model. It's a part definition, so a block in SysmLv1. Called simple system, which contains an attribute mass of type real. And then I create a part of that type containing three parts of that type. So a very simple structure. So the part is named my system and it has three parts, P1, P2, P3, very simple. When I click inside SysmLv2 code, you see in the outline view of Eclipse the model structure. And there again you find then the types of the beta model you saw before in the PDF. For example, you find a lot of feature memberships. So the relationship that relates a feature to the owner. In this case here, it's a part definition or a part usage, depending on which level we look into our file. Yeah, and for those who'd like to see it graphically, it's also possible to do that. And the README PDF is described how to install Plant UML. So it's not a modeling tool, I would say. It's a graphical visualizer for UML, and it's adapted for SysML v2. And if it's installed, you can open the planned UML view. And for that, you must select the window menu. There you find show views, and then you can select the planned UML window. And then it shows, it should show the SysML v2 code in a graphical notation. By the way, this is not the final SysML v2 notation. It's just a graphical visualization of the SysML v2 code, but it's not the final one. It's the notation that is possible to do with planned UML. Yeah, that's quite nice. And well, I think that's it so far. But there's another SysML v2 pilot implementation in the install folder, and it's based on Jupyter and JupyterLab. And Christian, you know Jupyter much better than me, so that's your part. Yeah.
Is it the case that I know it better than you? Okay. might be. So, okay, let's switch to the other pilot implementation. As Tim mentioned, there is a second one. It's called JupyterLab. Before it was Jupyter Notebook, which is basically the same thing for the user. And it has two prerequisites. You need Java and you need some Python stuff, for example, Anaconda. And then you will find a batch file or a shell script for other platforms with which it is extremely easy to install Jupyter Notebook. One trick under Windows is that you should start the command line and the batch file under administrative privileges, and then it is no problem. So let me share my screen again. Okay, so what I prepared now is I have a command line window where you will just type in JupyterLab and it starts a web service, and in a few seconds in my browser there will be a window, and I will bring that window up on the screen. Our live and video watchers will see. So, whoop, it is loading. So that's JupyterLab. And we just say we want to do a new notebook in the SysML language. And now it is preparing a new notebook. In this time, I can copy some of the, come on. It worked before. Okay, it needs some time. So there's a lot of things loading in the background, I guess. And the video encoding for this podcast needs also some of my CPU.
I think it's important to say that it is only a pilot implementation, so it's not correct. Optimized regarding performance and user interfaces, et cetera, et cetera. It's only a pilot implementation.
Yeah, and you can see that on several edges and scratches and so on. So let's continue. So I have my new notebook, and if you know JupyterLab or Jupyter Notebook, you can enter some code. In this example, we will do SysML textual notation. And I think it will be, you might have seen or might have noticed that everything was black and white before, and now where the meter model in the background, the syntax was loaded, we get some highlighting, syntax highlighting here in the code. And what we can do now is we can use the show method, maybe. Oh, okay, there it's coming. And if I execute the show command, something in the background is not working obviously.
You need an argument. Show MBSE
yeah.
podcast.
Of course, you are so right, Tim.
So the name of the package, for example.
Exactly. MBSE podcast. So it was an OC layer 8 problem. So now there should be something in the background, and I think it needs some time again. Did I misspell something?
Package? MBSE. No, podcast? Looks good. No,
I don't know. Could not resolve reference. Why not? Okay, that worked before. what you should have seen now, and that's okay, that's live. what you should have seen now is that there will be or should be the same model structure as you have seen in the Eclipse environment. So what Jupyter Lab is doing in the background is resolving the code, resolving the textual notation, and building up the model and all the objects containing also these membership, feature memberships, and so on and so further for you in the background. So the next command, which is available in this pilot implementation, is the publish command podcast.
Let's see if it works.
Let's have a look if it works or not. Okay, cannot resolve. So do we have a parenthesis to... No.
Oh, you must run the code first.
That is possible, yeah.
Well, you are the Jupyter expert.
You called me the Jupyter expert, not me. So, and then it is working. Let's see. Wow. Yeah. What a wonder, yeah. So now we have the model structure here, and you see, besides the code we have typed or pasted in, the import statement is clear. That is the one we pasted there. We have memberships and superclassing, and what do we have here? Feature membership, feature typing, subsetting. So everything what was happening before in these statements in the code is now here in the model structure. And you might notice that there are already UUIDs behind each of these modeling elements. So that means we have an instantiation of the objects in the object model of Jupyter Lab. And what we can do now is publish this model to a repository using the SysMLv2 API. And this takes some time, so this is not optimized up to now. And even this example, or a very similar example from us, was around a million lines of JSON. So it's a lot of stuff what is happening in the background, and this will surely be optimized. And you'll see it's still processing to transfer this model from my computer to the SysMLv2 repository, which is hosted by Intercax, who do a lot of stuff in this pilot implementation of the SysMLv2 API. So, but Tim, what else can we do with this repository?
Yeah, so we can access the repository using a browser. That's pretty cool. So I will share my screen again. And so it's, and the URL is sysmlv2.intercax.com and then port 9000/docs. And then you find the REST HTTP binding of the SysMLv2 API. There will also be an OSLC binding be available. They're currently working on the pilot implementation of that one. I think in the next or in the release after that, it will also be available to the public. But here we have a REST HTTP binding, and we use Swagger to access the methods there. So is this already published?
Yes, it was.
It's there? Okay, yeah. Okay, great. So we can, for example, then here, get the list of all projects. Let's try it out and see if it works. So it's a public server. So everyone who plays around with it, publish to it. You see a lot of stuff. So here you see the response, picture taken. Here's a 1C parts tree redefinition from October the 30th. Again, and so on. And at the bottom, we should see the MBSE podcast project published a few minutes ago. Before MBS podcast, we see the TDSE. That's the project Chris and I published last week for the conference. And we see an identifier. So here's the unique identifier of the project, and I can copy it because I need that one for another call. Let's go further down. Now can get the commits of this project. And I need the ID of the project, so paste and execute. And then I get here the response, the commits. There's only one commit. And what I need to dive into the model through this API, I need the commit ID. So here we see the project ID and the commit ID of this commit. And then we can call, let's go further down here. For example, here, get the elements by the project and the commit, or get the root element by project and commit, and so on. So I will call get root elements by project and commit, because get all elements takes very long. And I tried it this morning and it crashed the server. So I try this one. And again, we need the project ID. It's still my clipboard. And I need the ID of the commit. And it's here. So copy, paste. And let's see if it works. I see it costs some time. It's still loading. Well, and the response is a JSON stuff. It's very long. And you see a lot of empty fields. So that's where it could be optimized. And somewhere here in all this stuff, you will find the MBSE podcast package, which is the root element of our model. And if I would have called get all elements, then you will also find the parts and the part definition element and so on. Yeah, so it's nice to play around with that one and to see that it works. And yeah, Christian, you already mentioned last week, we did a very cool demonstration of that, of the API. Can you briefly explain it? So we have a few minutes left.
Sure. So, as we've told you two times already in this session, we did a demonstration at the National Symposium, ENCOSY National Symposium in Germany. And we've shown a similar thing like we've shown you here. We started with the Eclipse implementation just for viewing. Then I've gotten to Jupyter Notebook and published a model. And the thing is that we thought about just publishing something to a repository and viewing it in the repository is not a big deal. So we decided to write some lines of code, and we thought, how can we interact with another tool from maybe another engineering domain? And one of the most common tools on the world is Microsoft Excel. So yeah, we took a look in Microsoft Excel and we found out, Microsoft Excel can make REST calls, GET calls, and you can also make HTTP POST calls in Excel. And so we made up the story or the use case that someone, let's say a systems engineer, is pushing a model into the repository, and another domain engineer will call this information in his tooling, and in this case the tooling is Excel, so he makes an HTTP GET on the repository, and he changes the information and writes it back into the repository. So we could do that also live, but as Tim has said, this takes a lot of time. So we took it into a video, and this we will show you now. So I'm jumping a little bit ahead because this is, as I said, Jupyter Notebook and Eclipse. And the real interesting part is here in the back of the video, where we call the information from the model. So it was an integer with value 42. The domain engineer decides, 42 is not my number. My number is, my favorite number is 12345, like all my passwords. And I have here a button to send this back to the API. And like it was here in the example we've shown you some seconds ago, before there was just one commit, and now there are, after the publishing of out of Excel, we call all the commits again, and we see there are two commits now in the project. And we now do look up one special element, which was this integer value property. And now we find the number 12345 also in the repository. Yeah, and maybe you might say now, that's not a big deal, bringing up some stuff from Excel to a repository. But the thing is, I'm not a programmer. So I know how to use some programming languages. I did it in my thesis and so on. So I know how to program, but I'm not a programmer. I know a little bit how the internet works. And it was possible for me within a few hours without programming Visual Basic before, bringing up this proof of concept. And that means that maybe the bigger deal than the language might be the API. Because with the API, with this proof of concept, we have shown you that how easy it is to integrate different toolings in a model-based tooling environment. And this was not possible before. So you always had these proprietary integrations. And the truth was that you had the MBSE silo or even a SysML silo. And besides that, a MATLAB Simulink silo and model exchange and also model, what's the word? Model transformation was not available or not easy to achieve. And what we've shown you now is that with this implementation, even with this early implementation of the API, it is possible to exchange models and elements of models. So another use case could be, and I think Tim and I will do something like that in future, that we run a simulation in, let's say, Modelica, and we get the actual weight of a composite structure out of the system model. So these use cases are extremely easy to achieve, as you've seen. Yeah, so I think we...
That was it?
That was it, yeah. We unboxed SysML V2. We took 3/4 of an hour. But I hope it was worth it. I hope you are not too disappointed if you wanted to go more in detail. But I think, as Tim already mentioned, we will have several other podcasts on the language, especially when it gets more mature. And what did I miss? If you have questions on the pilot implementation, there is a Google group. We will put the link also in the description of this video and on our website. There you can post questions, and Ed is very keen on answering them, mm-hmm. Ed and all the team on the pilot implementation. Yes, and yeah.
So Tim, what's our next episode?
Oh, yes, our next episode. It's in less than 3 weeks. It's on December 15th. This time again in German, and we have a guest for the first time. We have Christian Neureiter, who is director of the new research center, Josef Ressel Center for Dependable System of Systems Engineering in Austria. And I'm very looking forward to have him here. I'm also very curious what you say when we have a guest here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was it for today. But do not forget.
Trust us. We are systems engineers.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Ich glaube, ich habe gestoppt. Ja. Ja, doch. Ja, okay, ist gestoppt. Sehr schön. Stream beenden. Oh, da haben wir jetzt aber doch ganz schön lang gebraucht.
Ja.
Das hätte ich gar nicht gedacht.
Ich glaube, mal auf Stopp. Warte mal.